Okay, we are, Dave. I'm trying to conclude this brief study on the kingdom, but I keep coming up with more stuff to talk about. So, I wanted to share a couple things with you. Over the past couple weeks, we were talking about the kingdom. We're talking about the kingdom and the resurrection. We saw in Revelation 20 about the talked about the judgment. There's going to be a judgment. We found out to draw a timeline. We've got dispensation of the age of grace. We've got 7 years of tribulation. And we've got 1,000 years where Christ is going to rule and reign during the millennium. Then we've got Battle of Gog and Magog. Then we've got the Great White Throne Judgment. We saw that there was a resurrection right here. When Christ comes back to the earth, the day of the Lord, there's a resurrection. And then Revelation 20 said, don't want to mess it up. Said the rest of the dead lived not again until the thousand years were finished. From Revelation 20, verse 5. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. So we had another resurrection right here. At the end of the 1,000 years, we know that that's the Great White Throne Judgment. I don't know if you can read that or not, but anyhow. So I was thinking about that. And who's gonna be resurrected when? So turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25. Matthew, excuse me. Matthew chapter 24 says, verse 3, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? For many shall, and Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. So I'm not going to read down through all this. Verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. Then shall the end come. skip down to verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. They shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So, we see that the we know that talked in Revelation about who's going to, we talked in the past couple weeks about who's going to be in the kingdom. We saw that Ezekiel 37, the nation of Israel is going to be resurrected in the kingdom. David's going to be there. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the prophets, children are going to be there. Those that have come out of the great tribulation are going to be in this millennial reign. We see that, we know that we're going to be, when Christ comes back at the day of the Lord, that's when the body of Christ is going to be, those that are asleep in Christ, he's going to bring with him. That's when 1 Corinthians 15:51 happens, resurrection of our bodies. But also, talks about the elect. The elect are going to be resurrected here. The elect of Israel and the elect of the body of Christ. I think we can safely say they're going to be resurrected. We know that there's going to be some judgment going on there as well. Turn to Matthew chapter 25, verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all his holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. I think we can safely say that that's the time when Christ comes back at the day of the Lord. And he shall come in his glory, and all his holy angels with him. And he shall, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. And he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat, and I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When we saw thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee, but when we saw thee sick or in prison, and came unto thee. And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Uh, For I was hungered, and ye gave me no meat, and I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. For I was a stranger, and ye took me not in, naked, and ye clothed me not, sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when we saw thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee, then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So, I'm contemplating this passage. Verse 31 seems to be pretty clear to me that it's speaking of the day of the Lord. But when is he going to be separating the sheep from the goats? Is it at the day of the Lord, or is it at the great white throne judgment? I'm still contemplating that. Or is it both? I'm not sure. Maybe a continuation. Who in Revelation 20, verse 5, says here, verse 4, and I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And last week we saw that there was some of the nations that were going to remain upon the day of the Lord. So when Christ comes back here at the day of the Lord, I always thought that it was going to be total judgment, that there was going to be I still think all unbelievers were going to be judged at that time. But we saw that there's going to be some that remaineth. And thought about that this week, whether they're, it's talking about the believers of the Gentile nations. I'm not exactly sure, I'll be honest with you. Anyway, here in Revelation 20, verse 5, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. Who would that be? Yes, I think so, but what did you say, Tracy? Right. So this concept, it says here, verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. This is what makes me wonder if Matthew 25, the judgment of the sheep and goats, happens at the great white throne judgment. Does that make sense to anybody? Yeah, agreed. As a matter of fact, I believe all that judgment happens on the earth, the great white throne judgment. But it begs the question is, who's going to be resurrected here? We talked about the purpose of the why this thousand-year millennium reign, and I believe part of that is a fulfillment of Exodus 19:6 when it says, "And ye shall be a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." And it's said in Revelation that I think in Revelation 5 that they're going to be kings and priests, and they're going to reign with him 1,000 years. So thinking about that, what would be the purpose of this resurrection right here? I tend to think that it mainly resurrection, like it's talking about here in Revelation 20. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So, absolutely, absolutely. Right, so the nation of Israel is always to be a kingdom of priests. So that kingdom would go to other kingdoms or other nations. The nation of Israel is to go to the Gentile nations and shed the light of the gospel to the rest of the nations. And I think this time is going to be a fulfillment of that prophecy. When he's true, but this dispensation of we know that this dispensation of grace was a mystery, so it's not going to be part of prophecy. You would not find it. But he said, you see in Scripture where the nation of Israel is called his elect. We also find out in Scripture the body of Christ is also referred to as, Paul calls it, elect of God. Calls us the elect of God. Right. Who, when you go to Romans chapter 4, when you think about it in this way, Jesus Christ came through the nation of Israel. Turn with me. I don't want to mess this up. Romans chapter 4. I think this is an important point to grasp. Talk about promises here. So we're talking about circumcision. Verse 8, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Cometh this blessedness upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. Skip down to I really don't want to talk about circumcision and uncircumcision, but that's what the passage is talking about. Verse 13. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath, for where there is no law, there is no transgression. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that which is the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. So thinking about this, how can we say that Abraham is our father? He's not our father. We're not of the nation of Israel. But what Mary just said, we can claim the promise, the same promise of eternal life that was given to Abraham. We can claim that because we receive that through faith, not by the law, but we receive that through faith through Jesus Christ, who was of the nation of Israel physically. You could claim that he was a descendant of Abraham. So, yeah, we're in Christ, and we can receive those promises through faith, not through the seed or through the works of the law. Right, that's correct. Yeah, to turn with me to to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, and the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. This in 1 Corinthians 15, talking about our resurrection, happens right here at the beginning of this 1,000 years, when Christ comes back at the day of the Lord. So anyway, I always wondered, what's the purpose of resurrection of judgment here and resurrection of judgment here? So it says the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years are finished. I think that's a judgment of unbelievers. And I think it's a judgment of those people that have died during the 1,000-year millennial reign. Yes. Yeah, that's correct. The ones that are resurrected here? That's right. I agree with you, Mary. Because the scripture says that Christ was the first resurrected from the dead. He was the first fruits unto eternal life. So, yeah, same. I mean, think about it. Jesus Christ was not the first person that was raised from the dead. I mentioned Lazarus back in the Old Testament. Elisha raised a young, I think it was a Shunammite boy, from the dead. So think about Jonah. Jonah died in the belly of the whale. He was resurrected, but they were not resurrected unto eternal life. Jesus Christ was the first one resurrected. He was the first fruit, correct? Anyway, thinking about this, and I'm thinking, who's resurrected here? And who's resurrected here at the Great White Throne Judgment? We can clearly say that the elect is going to be resurrected to go into the thousand-year millennial reign. Yes, that's correct. So we're going to be, even though we're both called the elect, I think the body of Christ is going to go and take those positions in the heavenly places. The nation of Israel is going to take their position here on the earth. On the earth during this thousand-year millennial reign. So I'm asking myself the question, what about those people that were born, that lived before the flood of Noah? When are they going to be resurrected? When is their judgment going to happen? Turn with me to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, Romans chapter 5, Romans chapter 5, verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that was to come. Verse 18, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one many shall be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Hold that thought and turn back to chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 says, verse 1, what shall we say that Abraham our father pertaining to the flesh hath bound. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is a reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man, unto whom God imputed the righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered. Verse 8 is what I wanted to touch on. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Blessed is a man whom the Lord will not impute sin. Of course, we know that Abraham, and through faith, those that are saved, he's not going to impute sin. Back here in Romans 5, verse 13, he says, For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. So what about those people that lived before Moses? That's right. So, no, they don't. So, no, I don't think so. I'm going to take you. But here's the reason for me to talk about this. I'm questioning whether the resurrection happens here or the resurrection happens here. Okay, so. Turn with me to Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2, verse 1. Let's talk about mankind, okay? Romans 1, 18. Verse 17 says, For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, The just shall live by faith. Verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Verse 20 talks about the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen by being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Chapter 2, verse 1, still talk about mankind. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. Okay, so skip down to, he's talking about all mankind here, Gentiles. Skip down to verse 12. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. So, we just read in Romans 5, verse 13, For until the law, sin was in the world. That's clear. Starting with Adam, all mankind were sinners. For until the law, sin was in the world. But sin is not imputed when there is no law. Now think about that. So those people that were alive before the law of Moses came were sinners. But this verse says, sin is not imputed when there is no law. To the account of, right. And then Romans 4, verse 8 said, blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Does that mean all those people before the law are blessed? And God's not going to impute their sin to them? No, I don't think that's the truth at all. So Romans chapter 2 says, verse 12, for as many as have sinned without law, we can say that those people that were alive from Adam until Moses were sinners. It's clear. For as many as have sinned they were before the law. They were sinners, but they were also without law. Because the law wasn't given until Moses. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. Verse 14 says, for when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these, having not the law, are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or excusing one another. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. That's Paul's gospel, that's right there. So, when is that day? In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. That's this day right here. He's going to judge according to my gospel. So, I have to ask myself, are those people that were born before Moses, before the flood, leading up to, are they going to be judged at this day here? Or are they going to be judged out here? It's a hard question. It also makes me question whether the separation of the sheep or goats happens here, or both. And I'm not 100% sure on that. Conventional teaching says the separation of the sheep and goats happens here at the day of the Lord before the 1,000 years. But I'm not so sure, because there's also going to be judgment here. He's talking about separate those that inherit the kingdom. Is he talking about this earthly kingdom? Or is he talking about the kingdom that comes down after the great white throne judgment, the New Jerusalem? When death and hell are cast in the lake of fire, we see the New Jerusalem, which is also a kingdom, come down from heaven to the earth. Do you see my dilemma about this? Is, turn back to Matthew 25. Yes, right. So, when they were there, When they therefore were come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Right, so. But Matthew 25, verse 31, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all his holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as the shepherd divides the sheep from the goats. In the context, it makes it happen, sound like it makes it sound like it happens here right away. And it may, I'm just not sure. What it also makes me question by what gospel those people that were born, those people that lived before the flood, before law, what are they going to be judged by? What gospel? Did you ever think about that? If they're going to be judged, what are they going to be judged by? What gospel did they or did they not believe? These are some tough questions. What was the gospel? What was their saving gospel back before the flood? What was Adam and Eve's gospel? Right. That day is pretty going on. Salvation through. The end of the book, let us hear the conclusion of the whole spirit commandments. This is the whole duty of man. In the beginning, Adam and Eve, God, there's to be wrong. Think about them this week.